At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hi, this is John Semper Jr., the head writer and producer of Spider-Man the Animated Series, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, Bug Brain, over here.
You won't be so funny when I give you an acid shampoo!
I love it when a plan comes together.
Thanks for waiting till the last second.
Timing is everything. Let me do it. This takes muscle.
You're right. It did.
Welcome to episode 73 of Tooncast Beyond. We're continuing on with the Spider-Man 1994 animated series coverage. We've got season 4 today. I'm, of course, TFG on Mike. Joining me is Eduardo. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I don't have to be all angsty and pissed because my girlfriend got thrown into a dimensional portal.
He wasn't that angsty and pissed, and we didn't really... Mm. Okay, yeah, she did get thrown into a dimensional portal, but...
Yeah.
What I find absolutely hilarious, and I wish I had planned this out a little bit better so I could have asked the guy and actually donated to it, but John Semper Jr., head writer, producer of Spider-Man the Animated Series, the 1994 cartoon series, last year or the year before, at some point in the last year and a half, had done a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo, I think it was an Indiegogo, for his campaign War of the Rocket Men for this new series. And part of the perks were, if you donated a certain amount of money, you would get a final script of what the fate of Mary Jane Watson. And we'll talk about that next time around, next week in episode 74. But I really wish that I could have hopped on that at the time, and I just couldn't, because I would have loved to have been able to bring that up in this podcast, because that would have just been so awesome. But yes, Spider-Man the Animated Series, season 4. This season is friggin' weird, folks. It really, really is to me. Season 3, we ended up on Turning Point. After the Goblin War, where Norman tries to use the transporting device to find out Spider-Man's secret identity, and of course this leads to the fateful confrontation between Spider-Man and the Green Goblin that will change the Wallcrawler's life forever. This was based on Amazing Spider-Man 39 and 121. 121 and 122. All right. And this season, the subtitle or the chapter prefix title was Partners in Danger, which I know it's a long ass title, Spider-Man the Animated Series Season 4 Episode 1 Partners in Danger Guilty. I get that's a long ass title, but I like the chapter prefixes cuz it lends itself to an overall arc, like they're writing a book or they're they're telling a specific story. But this one starts off with the episode Guilty, where we see Tombstone again. And this goes back to the Richard Fisk part of the storyline and all that and setting up Robbie. And starting the season like this for season four, the only word I can come up with for it is friggin' weird.
Yeah, it does remind me of, like, this has happened in comics where they'll set something up, you'll have this big thing, and then they'll kind of leave it alone for a while, but it'll be like hanging in the background, mm-hmm. A character dies and it's like the next issue, it doesn't jump immediately after that, but the hero is like still angsty about I just lost so and so,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed Guilty. I thought it was a nice way to show more of Robbie and everything else, but again, Tombstone, not exactly a major Spider-Man villain that we all know and love.
No, but this is based off something that went through the Spider-Man comics in like the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
where it was the same thing. It was the fact that Robbie and Tombstone had a connection.
Right.
Although in this particular case, it ended a little better because I know in the comics, it ended up with Robbie in prison. And at one point, he and Tombstone end up like, kind of like in those old prison escape movies, they end up like escaping from prison and stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to see that storyline and that particular thread adapted for the TV series.
It was, and I'm glad they were able to fit it all in or condense it enough to where it fit into one 21-22 minute episode.
Yeah.
Without ads and all that and everything else.
Yeah.
So right before my birthday in 1997 and right after Valentine's Day in 1997, we had The Cat and the Black Cat. I love this. I have been waiting for this since season one.
Yeah. Oh, you and everybody else who had read the comics and knew about Felicia Hardy's double life.
And for me, what lends an extra oomph to it is the fact that it's Jennifer friggin' Hale doing the voice.
Oh, and, yeah.
All that. Because every time I read, like, when I read Spider-Man Return of the Black Cat, which was one of the amazing Spider-Man stories, 6-something, mm-hmm. 626 to 636, and it wasn't 10 issues, but I'm saying it's one of those.
Yeah,
that's all I can hear is Jennifer Hale's voice in my head when I read,
yep,
Black Cat in comics anymore. It's always been that way. I love the Cat and the Black Cat episodes. Technically, they're each other's two-parter. We basically get introduced to Felicia's father, and we find out that he was a jewel thief, and we found out that he knew about the super soldier serum and everything else. And in the part two, Black Cat, Kingpin forces her to take the serum and turns Felicia from herself. I mean, she's still herself, but it turns her into the Black Cat. And just absolutely love these two episodes. Out of this season, I can safely say these are my two favorite episodes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, although it's strange because, like, I don't know. I've always been kind of hot and cold about the idea of Black Cat getting tied into the Super Soldier Serum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's a way to foreshadow that we'd be getting Cap at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
But, sometimes I'm like, I would have liked to have seen the Black Cat kind of debut without having to give her, having to make it like a transformation. But on the other hand, it's like, I know enough of history that there have been points in the comics where Black Cat had actual superpowers.
Right, yeah.
Although there was even a point where she used artificial means to duplicate her powers after she lost them, but
yeah. Well, the thing with this is, and the funny thing I noticed, and we'll talk about this next week when we talk about season five, is in season five, when Cap's whole story is again retold, they basically reuse, I think they reuse the animation for several frames, like of Steve walking into the vat, walking out of the vat, putting the t-shirt on. That's a friggin' t-shirt. That's not, you know, and they show the guy that's going to destroy the thing and whatever else. So I don't quite mind it here. Again, it was an interesting way to show how her dad, you know, that he has a photographic memory and everything else. And then you also have S.H.I.E.L.D. in this too, you know, because of all that and everything else, because Hardesky is actually in the helicarrier jail. Absolutely love that episode. I thought as a nice kind of send-off, Return of Kraven was a really cool episode. Kind of giving Kraven the Hunter and Mariah Crawford a happy ending in just one 30-minute thing. And then, as I said, this season, because it's only 11 episodes, and it gets kind of weird how these go. Okay, so you got, like I said, you got Guilty, Cat, Black Cat, Return of Kraven, then you got Partners, Awakening, Vampire Queen, Return of the Green Goblin, Haunting of Mary Jane Watson, Lizard King, and Prowler. The Awakening and Vampire Queen stuff, I don't mind because it ties back into Black Cat, because obviously she was in love with Michael and everything else. And then obviously the Green Goblin stuff is fine. Haunting of Mary Jane is fine. The Lizard King and the Prowler, the final two episodes of the season, they're just weird. It's look, I love this series, folks. I'm not trying to be negative about this, but these episodes are just weird. I felt watching the Lizard King that John Sepper Jr. and his writing team just felt like they needed to throw something in here. Like they needed something for Kurt Connors to do. And we don't ever really see him get his happily ever after. We don't ever see him get his arm back or anything like that. We don't see him get a cure because he comes up later in season five. And they do work around getting rid of the lizard part of his brain and things like that. But again, I thought the whole point of that character was for him to find a cure or find a way to reverse his neogenic explosion thingamajig. I don't know. Out of the 11 episodes, which ones did or didn't you like for this season?
Well, I like the Return of the Green Goblin for a couple of reasons. Reason one, it was kind of cool seeing the cartoon pick up where the comics also ran, which is Harry kind of inheriting his dad's madness. And then, of course, there's also the fact that we have the Punisher back, and I thought it was interesting that we get a nice little twist where instead of Spider-Man being the one that the Punisher's after, it's Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the fact that at the end of the episode, we have the return of Mary Jane. So it's like, you know, check it out. Mary Jane is back. You can be happy now, Spider-Man. Something went your way.
She gives new meaning to being all wet, though.
Okay. No.
Come on.
No. Save it for later.
Yeah.
You have to save it for later.
Yeah.
And I did. I loved the Haunting of Mary Jane because it was cool to see not only seeing them together, not only getting like a happy Spider-Man, but also that Mary Jane got to do something other than be the damsel in distress, that she tried to figure this out on her own. You know, she tried to kind of take, although I got to say, trying to get your boyfriend to prove his love for you by jumping off a building, probably not the smartest thing in the world. I mean, yeah, he caught her, but I mean, you could have come up with something else.
Yeah.
Something not as drastic.
Yeah, very true. Well, it's not like, you know, the Sandman had her trapped or anything, but anyway. Yeah. What I think is so cool about the Cat and the Black Cat episodes is that even though the story was done by John Semper Jr., the writing on the Black Cat, Marty Eisenberg, Robert N. Skier, that's all I gotta say. Also, Sean Catherine Derrick is on that one as well. So, but I mean, as soon as I saw those names on there, after I, because I've seen The Cat and the Black Cat, Marty and Robert only, Marty and Bob only did the Black Cat episode, but, and I've seen these episodes a million times, but when I, you know, doing, you know, looking them up for the show today and, I'm like, hey, I know those guys. I've seen a lot of their other work and they're amazing. So no wonder that episode was so good. Characters that return in this, like I said, Dr. Kirk Connors is kind of throughout. Mary Jane obviously comes back. Harry turns into the Green Goblin. We still have Norman as the Green Goblin in the alternate dimension thingamajig. Morbius, the vampire, which then introduces or reintroduces Blade and Whistler and all that and everything else. I've already gushed, Black Cat, and then we got Tombstone and Robbie and Kraven. What character really caught your attention this season throughout, besides obviously Spidey?
Yeah, well, again, I liked Harry kind of taking up the Goblin mantle and going completely nuts. I mean, I still have stuck in my head when you know, at the end of that episode where he's all tied up and, you know, Mary Jane shows up and he's like, "It's Mary Jane, she's back, see, everything's better now," just, you know, totally gone bonkers. I actually liked the Prowler, and I liked the celeb that they got for his voice. They got Tim Russ from Star Trek Voyager. I thought it worked.
Yeah, okay. The Prowler does work as an episode of Spider-Man. It really does. The way that it was told, the way that the story did progress. But the Prowler is not a season finale episode. It just isn't. Now, if you switched the Prowl, no, you couldn't switch. Okay, no. You take I'm trying to think. Okay, you take Return of the Green Goblin and The Haunting of Mary Jane Watson. Take those, drag them down below the Prowler. Okay. And that works for me, having Return of the Green Goblin and The Haunting of Mary Jane Watson be the final two episodes. So basically just take the Lizard King and the Prowler and move them up.
Yeah.
Because the Prowler, it does, like, I thought I was still in season four when the wedding started. No, seriously. I'm like, oh, and I exited out of my, because I use the Hulu desktop app on my Windows 10 machine. So,
yeah.
I exited out and I'm like, oh, I'm already on season. Oh, that's right. Season four is only 11 episodes. That's very, very weird. Okay, then.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, because I had thought that the wedding was in season four as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, when I saw that actually started season five, I'm like, okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah. The way that season four and season five fall, and I know we're not going to talk about season five until next week, but just the way they fall is just too weird to me. Like, okay, the wedding is the beginning of season five, and then the six parts for, or the five, yeah, the five parts for Six Forgotten Warriors. That's fine. But then you have the return of the return of Hydro Man, which is fine. But again, I think you should have somehow moved those up, like have the wedding, then have that two-parter, and then the four-part six Forgotten Warriors thing, and then have that lead into Secret Wars. Because I don't know, it just, I mean, I guess with the return of Hydro Man butting up against the Secret Wars, it does work, because it does work continuity-wise. But maybe it's just the way that I'm looking at it here and just kind of overanalyzing it a little bit, and I admit to that. But I don't know. It just, as I was watching it, I was fine. But just looking at it on paper, it just seems like it's out of order, even though it really isn't. And I think it's all—I think it's all season four's fault, because season four, as I said, has episodes that I feel. And again, if John's listening, I doubt he is, but if he is, I'm not trying to offend you, sir, at all. I've already interviewed you once a few years ago, so. And I do love this series. It doesn't really matter to me, but at the same point, for me to have a discussion with my friend here, I have to, you know, I have to poke some holes in it somewhere, don't I? It's not like I'm hating on the series. It's not like I'm some of these animation snobs where it's like, oh my god, the red is bleeding, the colors are bleeding all over the place.
No. Don't hold back, Mike. Tell us how you really feel.
You know what? Everyone has always said, oh, but the red bleeds in that series. I notice it at certain points, but it's not as bad as everybody on the friggin' internet makes it out to be. And again, at this point, this series is, you know, 23 years old? Yeah, 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's like, and you gotta think, like we mentioned in season 2 and season 3, they were mixing 2D and 3D animation. So, some of the colors and some of the way that it was going to, quote-unquote, bleed through and change in variance, and it's fine. I have no problem with that, because the animation to me in season 4 was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really, really well done. I love all the voice cast, as always. The way that the Mary Jane voice actress, because I don't have that in front of me right off the top of my head, but it's just one of those things where the way that she is able to morph into the character of Mary Jane and do all of that and bring us Mary Jane to life. It was Sarah
Ballantine?
Ballantine, yeah, there we go. And again, I mean, Ed Asner as J. Jonah Jameson.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Nick Fury, because, like I said, S.H.I.E.L.D. is in here, and it's always kind of interesting seeing Nick. He was voiced by Philip Abbott in Day of the Chameleon, and then Jack Angel in later episodes. Oh my God, you've got Astro Train from Transformers.
Yep. He also, if I recall correctly, I think Angel also voiced Nick Fury for a couple of appearances in Iron Man.
Possibly, yeah. You've got Greg Berger, you know, Grimlock as Kraven. So he was Kraven and Mysterio both. So that's awesome for him.
So we had a twofer.
Yep. Let's see, who else is in this season? Obviously, Christopher Daniel Barnes is Peter/Spidey. Matt Murdock was voiced by Edward Albert, or Albert. I probably said that. Albert, there we go. Doctor Strange was voiced by John Vernon.
Dean Wormer!
Oh my god, yeah. Unicron. And we'll gush and probably cry and whatever next week, but oh my god, I've said this before in the last three episodes of this that we've been doing this. Joan Lee, Stanley's wife, as Madame Web, it just doesn't get any better than that.
Yep.
It doesn't get any better where your creator, the person that made Lee and Kirby and Ditko, just to give credit where credit is due, but, you know, to this series specifically, you know, they pretty much say Stan, for the most part, just to have her as Spidey's guide.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll get to all the gushy Madam Web moments next, you know, next episode, next season. Did you know that Whistler was voiced by Malcolm McDowell, of all people?
I think in Blade's first appearance, Whistler was Malcolm McDowell, but
it was the first two appearances, and then Oliver Muirhead.
Yeah, somebody else. Although, I thought it was cool having Malcolm McDowell as Whistler.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Kind of sorry they couldn't do it for the live action Blade.
Yeah, well, I think Kris Kristofferson pulled it off fairly well.
Yeah, no, he wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad. Oh my god. We'll get to that next week. The snake, folks, the snake.
Snake.
Oh, I forgot about that. I didn't even recognize that. You know, and as we've said before, the X-Men and all that, and we'll get to Fantastic Four later. For villains, you know, Carnage and Chameleon and Doctor Doom voiced by Tom Kane. You know, obviously Kingpin, we've mentioned him at length. Neil Ross's Green Goblin. I wonder if Gary Imhoff did Harry, but he also did Green Goblin 2. Landon, as we said, was basically Ra's al Ghul, David Warner. When you put that in perspective, though, David Warner was Sark in Tron. He was Herbert Landon in this. And he was Ra's al Ghul in Batman Animated Series, but he's also Professor Jordan Perry in The Secret of the Ooze.
And also he was the evil butler in Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they ever said his name out loud, but in the credits his character is called Spicer Lovejoy. And I want to sit Cameron down and go, really, man? Really? Seriously? That's his name?
Yep.
What the hell, man? What are you smoking in? Can I have some?
Yep. And we'll talk about this next week, but we'll gush about it next week. Miriam, who is Blade's mother, is voiced by the original Lieutenant Uhura, Nichelle Nichols. Dr. Octopus really surprised me. I only noticed it now, and I didn't even really notice it until I actually looked it up until after I watched the seasons, but because I just thought it was a standard, you know, accented voice. It's friggin' Alfred. It's Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. as Dr. Octopus.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, Mark Hamill is the Hobgoblin, but.
Yep.
Pretty much
doing a much more aggressive Joker voice.
Yeah. Yep. Oh my god. Martin Landau was the original Scorpion in seasons 1 and 2, and then Bull from Night Court, Richard Mall, took over in seasons 4 and 5.
Hey.
Oh my god, but no, this cast is just amazingly well done. The only thing we never got is we never got a conclusion to Spencer and Alistair's story. Like, whatever happened to Spencer? He's still in that hyper sleep thingamajig.
Yeah. So. I have my own idea. I have my own thoughts on, like, a lot of the stories that we didn't get, to see completed, but I think I'll save that until next time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Season 4, absolutely done so well. Even though I have complained a little bit about it because of just looking at it on paper, it just seems like it's disjointed. It really isn't. It does tell a full story. Absolutely love it. Ned Leeds was voiced by Porky Pig, Bob Bergen.
And hey, at least Ned didn't get the same fate that befell that happened to him in the comics.
Mm. Yeah. So anything else you want to bring up? Anything else you have opinions for season 4?
No, nope. I mean, I kind of see what you're saying, that, yeah, if you look at it you kind of look at it from a different perspective, it looks a little weird, a little disjointed, but there's some, you know, there's some good stuff in there. I think maybe if it had had a bit more of a punchy finale, you know, something with a bit of oomph, then it would be easier to look back on it with fondness. But
yeah,
you know, but still not bad. I mean, not bad at all.
No. And I remember it was either our season 2 episode or our season 3 episode where we were questioning the whole Linda Gary, Julie Bennett thing. Linda was Aunt May for the first 3 seasons, and then Julie took over in season 4 and 5. So that question is answered. I almost didn't even really recognize the voice change.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when done well, you don't recognize that there was a changeover. If it's done pretty good, you kind of recognize there's a difference, but it still works. And then you have cases where they just completely change the voice, and it's like night and day. Kind of like when they had when Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. wouldn't be available for Batman, and they got somebody else.
Yeah,
because it was obvious that it was a different voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, season 4, very absolutely, like I said, very well done. Absolutely dig season 4. Specifically for the Black Cat, but that's, folks, the Black Cat gushing from my end is not going to stop, especially once we get to season 5, because, oh my God, does she tear his head off?
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, I think I should probably jump on Twitter, see if Jennifer Hale says anything about my ears are burning as somebody talking about me.
That would be an interview I would kill for. But obviously, you'd have to be professional, and you know, so. Well, oh boy.
Well, and I don't think she'd appreciate any casualties in her name.
Well, it's more so about the character with her voice behind it. But you know, I mean, heck, in that one War of the Rocket Men promo, she even brought up the sexy Black Cat voice. So, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember that promo. She's like, oh, because she blows a kiss or kisses Stan on the cheek. And it's just an audio promo, folks. So we only hear the audio and it's got pictures going by. But Stan faints and, oh, the kiss must have done him in. Oh, well. You know. Just, oh, my God.
Not a bad way to go at all.
If we... And I know animation has progressed, and I know they're currently doing Ultimate Spider-Man or whatever it's called now, Ultimate Spider-Man and His Web Warriors, whatever the series. Because that series started out as Ultimate Spider-Man, and then it morphed into, you know, seasons change and series title change. But if we could go back and have more of this animation style and more stories with the same voice cast... Obviously, some are not with us anymore, but most, you know, most of the core cast come back. Oh, I would love that so much. I know it'll never happen, but yeah. All right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. Next week is our Spider-Man grand finale as we enter the Spider Wars and the Secret Wars and the Spider Wars. So there's that, and there's a few other episodes in season 5. You got anything you want to promote?
You know, I'm still keeping it reels is still going on. So, you know, go to Blog Talk Radio, type in Keeping It Reels and give us a listen. We try to be live every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. You know, we've talked Pixar, we've talked anime, we've talked like top 10 movies of 2016. As we record this, we're going to be talking about like comic book movies and how they compare to the source material. So, you know, give it a listen. It's a cool show, and you know, it's just like hanging out with your buddies at the bar and just, you know, shooting the breeze.
Absolutely. All right, folks, you can find me on Twitter at TFGNMike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the network updates. You can follow at Tooncast Beyond for those updates as well. What is your Twitter?
Yeah, my handle is, it's pronounced White Balloon King, but it's spelled WHTBLLNKING because, well, Twitter wouldn't let me spell out the entire word, so I had to ditch some of the vowels.
Oh, Twitter. So funny. That's why I'm glad I found my personality way early in the days of Twitter, so I didn't have to worry about it. And one thing I never understood. Like, I don't mind if people change like their first names and things like that, but actually changing the Twitter handle, it just, I think I changed it once. Originally it was TFG1 Podcast because that was the only podcast I had, but then I changed it to TFG1 Mike, and I've just never looked back. And oh my God, next year I would have been on Twitter for 10 years. Oh my God.
Oh, do they send you a t-shirt or something?
I wish.
Happy anniversary!
I wish.
T-shirt, a pin, a cap, I don't know. some sort of miniature plaque, you know, come on, just to, you know.
So join us next week, folks, because we really, really, really hate clones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Especially if they attack.
No, get that Star Wars love story out of my Spider-Man.
I've driven him crazy. I've accomplished my mission.
On that note, folks, here's a message from the Black Cat.
Remember when we did Spider-Man, the animated series?
Of course.
You played Harry Osborn in the Green Goblin. I played Felicia Hardy, and later I became the Black Cat.
Oh, you were unforgettable.
Aw, thank you. Well, a whole generation of viewers fell in love with my sexy black cat voice. You know, when I would turn to you and say, "Come here, Spider. I want to kiss you."
Whatever you say, Felicia. Huh?
What? What just happened to me?
It's the voice. It's mesmerizing. It makes people want to do whatever I ask them to. So, I simply asked for those tickets in my black cat voice, and I got them.
This is unbelievable. And that works every time?
Every time. Oh, that's probably Stan Lee.
Stan Lee? What's he here for?
I asked him to come over. I need him to move my couch.
Wait, what? Jennifer, you expect a 92-year-old man to move your couch? That thing is huge and heavy. You gotta be kidding.
Watch this. Hi, Stan. I need you to move my couch from the living room to the den. Could you do that for me, please? Pretty, please?
I don't believe it. Stan Lee is actually picking up your couch and putting it on his back. He's moving it!
Yeah.
And now he's moving your refrigerator?
Yeah.
92-year-old Stan Lee is lifting up and moving your heavy refrigerator.
I know.
Incredible!
Thanks, Stan. You sexy hunk of manhood, you. Huh. He just fainted. The kiss must have been too much for him. Excelsior indeed.
This is starting to sound like a bad comic book plot.